Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two or more episodes of the Pokemon series anime. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this afternoon by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, girl. Hey.
So this is a week of, like, testing things.
It's always an experiment here on Out of the Drying Pan.
Well, one thing we're testing is three episodes in one podcast. We've done it many times before, but we're just kind of seeing how it's going to go. Because if it's successful, maybe we'll do it some more. If it's not, maybe we'll do one episodes. Who knows?
Who knows? I know Austin has a very dedicated schedule. All of this is by design. So we have three episodes to keep on schedule, right?
Right.
But speaking of testing, we're also testing out a new recording environment for me. And not a new setup, because I actually went back to using some old equipment. So I just want to put that disclaimer out there that if my audio sounds different and maybe even a little bad, I apologize. I'm not in my usual place, and I'm actually using my old microphone, so because it's portable.
It doesn't matter what we do. It'll sound perfectly fine when I'm editing it.
Yeah.
And I export the audio file, and it's like making shit noises for no reason. I've kind of given up at this point, even though yeah. I'm now unplugging my fridge to minimize it as much as I can.
My computer fan, this is the most jank setup ever, you guys. I literally have my old microphone perched on top of my laptop, and the fan is going crazy. So if you hear that or some kind of background noise, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, support your local podcasters.
We really try our best.
Leave 5 stars and join our Patreon if you can afford it.
Yeah, this is podcasting on a budget, so I'm trying my best. I did everything I could to mitigate it, but if there's a difference, that's the reason. But we hope you enjoy listening anyway. And, of course, I love how we're doing this on the episode where we have an extra episode to talk about.
I think these are kind of, tell me if you disagree, I think these are kind of light content episodes.
Yeah.
It felt like these are kind of the first episodes in quite some time that are very Johto fillery.
There were a couple funny parts. I definitely liked the middle episode, the Zangoose episode of this trio.
I like parts of it. I didn't like the whole thing.
I guess if I had to pick one out of the three that we talk about this week, I would pick the Zangoose one, but it is very fillery.
Yep.
That's all right. Sometimes you have to get through those kind of episodes to get to the good stuff.
So, how was your week? What's going on? What's happening in Alex world?
Oh, God, Alex world. What a lovely place to be. What has been going on? Nothing much, really.
You saw me one night.
Yeah, I know. I was going to mention that was going to be my transition into what you did. Austin and I went on an adventure. We went to the midnight release of Pokemon Legend ZA.
At a GameStop.
Oh, my God. That is so nostalgic, isn't it?
All the GameStops are now, like, closed, so we're kind of running out of options.
I just was surprised when you had mentioned that, and you were like, hey, you gave me the invite. You're like, hey, do you want to go with me to pick up the game I pre-ordered? And I'm like, sure. And I was like, well, when do we go? You know, like, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever. He's like, no, they're actually doing a midnight release, and I was very surprised.
Yeah, and their, like, system was not working. The guy claimed it was because all of the GameStops in the time zone were checking people out at the same time. I'm like, maybe.
I have no idea. I don't have insider retail knowledge.
I mean, we were there till, like, 1 in the morning.
I know. We literally showed up. We walked in there at, like, 11:45 because they were just open. They were letting people mill around inside the store. But we were standing there, and at midnight, they're like, okay, we can finally sell you the game. And then we just waited and waited and waited. We were standing there until 12:30, 1 o'clock. I was so tired. I didn't take the day off the next day. You did because you bought the game. I did not buy the game. I was just there for fun and moral support.
Ironically, I ended up not playing the game as much as I would have liked because I've been having to deal with, you know, adult responsibilities.
Ew.
Actually, I got called into work for a little bit.
Oh, wow. Even on your day off?
Yep.
Just a quick other disclaimer. If you hear a cat in the background, that would be my boyfriend's cat caterwauling downstairs.
Caterwauling.
Caterwauling. She's literally sitting down there going, meow, meow.
Like meow, 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 meow.
I think she's thinks that nobody's here, even though I'm upstairs talking.
Yeah, maybe she's upset with you being there alone.
Probably. She probably misses Josh. She's sitting there at the bottom of the stairs crying, so.
Josh has been gone for approximately 7 minutes.
Yeah, he's not even been gone for like 5 minutes. So yeah, there might be a random cat noise in the background. Isn't this lovely?
So, Legends EA.
Yeah, first impressions. You've been playing it. How do you like it?
It is a big adjustment to me to get used to the controls.
Okay.
And maybe I'm just not very bright, but I'm having difficulties controlling using the left controller and the right controller in conjunction. Because with the left controller, you use it to navigate sending Pokemon in and out. And on the right controller, you use it to control the moves they use. But it's kind of confusing because you use the same buttons to roll and dodge and avoid attacks. And you also have to keep track. You can't attack and be throwing Pokeballs at the same time. So it's kind of like throwing me off. It's kind of hard to keep track of.
Wow. Yeah, I've been reading some things about people's feedback or observations, criticisms, whatever you want to call it, from the game so far. And a lot of people were mentioning some accessibility issues with the controls, that being a big thing. They removed some features, like I know autosave is not available, or disabling autosave is not available. Obviously, there's been some discontent, I suppose, with the graphics, which I agree. I've seen video of it.
I mean, the graphics are not amazing, no. But I've actually been relatively impressed with this game, because after Scarlet and Violet, I think you could put just about anything, and I'd be like, wow! But
isn't that sad, though? Like, I feel like the bar is so low.
Mm-hmm. But I haven't been dealing with any crazy graphics errors or anything wild happening, so just having it work, I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Oh, good. The bare minimum.
Because like, I'm playing on the Switch 1 version. And the only problem I'm having with it performance-wise is, like, loading screens. Like, it just cuts to black every so often with a little Pokeball loading symbol in the corner.
Oh.
And it doesn't take an excessive amount of time, but it's noticeable. Especially when, like, during cutscenes, it's like, you see a trainer talking, and it's like, okay, loading screen. And it's like, okay, they send out their Pokemon, and you beat them, and they're like, okay, loading screen. And then they say something, and then loading screen, and then we're back to the battle. Oh, it's like, okay.
No. Oh, God, that really sounds awful when you add it up all together.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty disappointing. I think, I hate to say this, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there feel differently, but again, this is my opinion. I think I feel more justified in skipping it and not buying it right away. I mean, honestly, I've been a little disappointed with what I've seen, even on the Switch 2 version. People have been saying it's not so great. The real difference between the two is the frame rate. Switch 1 being locked to 30 FPS versus 60 on the Switch 2. And that's really the only difference.
Yeah, these whole Switch 2 version edition, whatever you call it, thing. Nintendo, I think they're kind of struggling for content there. They're like, make a Switch 2 version.
That is just so bizarre to me. Like, if you're going to release a new console, they don't have any titles for like a like flagship titles for launch.
Mario Kart, Donkey Kong.
I mean, Mario Kart World, but isn't Donkey Kong Bonanza on regular Switch?
No.
Is it not? Oh, is it not? Okay.
No. If it was, I would own it.
Well, I stand corrected on that, but I don't know. It's just, to me, it doesn't justify buying a whole console just for getting 60 FPS on Legends EA. Like, that's crazy to me.
Not a $10 price difference. No, it's not.
Well, you're talking about buying the console for $450.
Well, okay,
and then buying the game for $70, which is a $10 price adjustment for what? Although I'm I did hear that you can buy the Switch 2 version and use it on the Switch 1.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a video I saw said that. Again, that was one source, I'm assuming, but...
I think that's good for, like, Auntie Carol got Little Johnny the Switch 2 version, but Little Johnny only has a Switch, and so but he can still play it. I think that's a neat little quirk. I like that.
Yeah, I thought about it, like, I think I'll borrow it from you just to kind of get an idea of it. And if I'm impressed enough or like, okay, this is fun enough, I'll eventually buy it myself. But it's good to know that I can get potentially a Switch 2 version for my inevitable Switch 2 that I am going to have to purchase at some point.
I think it performs fine from my, you know, pleb point of view.
I am in agreement with a lot of people. I think that Game Freak can definitely do better. It is telling that from the leaks that have happened surrounding this, Nintendo only gave them, what was it, like a $20 million budget to make the game. And I believe that also included advertising.
Wait, so Nintendo's the one responsible for the OLEDs?
For setting a budget or...
Yeah.
My understanding is yes, although I could be mistaken. I just know people have been talking about their dismal lack of budget. It's not $20 million for game development. I get, you know, you might be like, oh, that sounds like a lot, but apparently in the game world, that's nothing.
If Nintendo was the true bad guy all along, that would be quite the twist, I feel like.
I don't know. I mean, I may, again, may be mistaken in the whole corporate structure, like how they decide how much the budget gets, you know, spent on gaming development, but I think if they're limited to a very small budget and they're just basically asset flipping, it goes to show you how little they care about, you know, putting a lot of love and effort into the game when they know that it's going to print money regardless. They're okay with putting in minimal effort because they know people are just going to purchase it regardless of what it looks like or how it performs.
Okay, I feel like I need to, like, bring in some positivity now. Like,
okay.
I'm liking the hints of the story that's going on. I'm not too far into it, but I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. I'll say that much.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about what the story was like. Is it typical Pokemon writing, or is there actually some story in depth to that, or...
I mean, I will say this. The Pokemon main series franchise games have gotten a lot more storytelling focused over the last several years. And I know people hate that. I don't know why they hate it. You're playing a JRPG. There's a lot of talking and a lot of cutscenes and a lot of blabbering on. That's just kind of the name of the game, people. Come on.
Okay, I think you raise a good point. I like the fact that they have become more story focused and it's a nice change versus just like, okay, go and catch the Pokemon. But if they're going to lean in heavily to that story side of things, I think it makes the lack of voice acting, or at least the kind of text to speech kind of noise that they have in like Animal Crossing or Zelda or something, it makes it so much more obvious that they don't have that. It's so bad.
They need voice acting.
I wouldn't even mind so much if they didn't have necessarily like full-on voice acting for the non-player character. They could have like the little text noises. You know how when the text goes on the screen and it's like, you know what I mean?
Ace Attorney.
Yeah, or some kind of grunting or noises like, hey, you know how they do in Zelda or whatever. They should have something. And the fact that they don't is very obvious.
I want full-on voice acting. It's awkward at this point.
So you're saying you want full-on voice acting for the NPC characters, or at least the major characters?
Yeah, during cutscenes. Not like, you know, random shopkeepers or whatever.
No.
Like during the cinematics that are all throughout these games now? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that would be a good balance. Like if they had, when you're doing your everyday, like running around and talking to people on the street or shop vendors, like they could have the little Ace Attorney kind of noise, the text noise, and then like in the cutscenes they could have full-on voice acting.
We'll see what happens with Gen 10. We'll see what happens.
I can give you my idea of what's gonna happen.
Nothing.
Yeah, a big nothing. It's gonna be the exact same as it always has been.
Okay, I'm trying to bring positivity here and you're bragging me down.
I'm bringing you down. Sorry, I have to be the cynic over here. I don't know. Look, I feel weird about it. We love Pokemon. We talk about it all the time. I just think it's a little strange. Like, for me personally, this is the first game I haven't bought day one. But after Scarlet and Violet, it just, that really put a bad taste in my mouth. So it is weird for me, because I know I criticize and I'm like, oh yeah, people say, you know, this is a problem. But then I run out and buy the game just like everybody else. I get it. I'm a hypocrite. But this time I didn't.
Okay. Well, I'll lend it to you when I'm done, but I'm going to need it back for the DLC whenever that comes out. I think February or March or something.
Yeah, that's coming quickly as well. We talked about that when we were waiting. The fact that they were probably, they delayed the game, and so now the DLC is coming out basically the same time. Don't worry, I'll do my best. Like I said, even if I don't get to finishing it, if at least I can get a demo in and then return it, then I can decide if I like it well enough to continue and buy it myself, or if I'm good to be like, oh, well, I tried it. Eh, whatever. We have three episodes to talk about today, so this might be a long one.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I hope these episodes don't get offended when we kind of go, bam, bam, bam.
There's a whole extra episode, so regardless.
Let's just do it. What are these episodes called?
Okay, we have three of them. So the first one is I Feel Skitty.
What is that, a pun?
I Feel Pretty, Oh So Pretty.
Oh, I Feel Witty and Gay. Okay. All right, what's the next one?
The next one is Zigzag Zangoose. And then, finally, last but not least, we have Maxed Out.
That was a weird one.
That one definitely is a weird one. All right, so because we have three episodes and there's two of us, what are we gonna do?
That's a good fucking question. I guess we'll just do a repeat of the first episode for the third episode.
Okay, I know you've said we've done three episodes before, but that was when there were three of us. We had Jacob, so it was a little bit more balanced.
Let's flip the increasingly weathered Dragon Knight coin.
Maybe from all those times you've dropped it on the ground.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, Alex, I hate to say it.
Oh.
I'm doing the Flash Challenge and you're doing the walkthrough.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, Austin, are you ready?
Ready.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
The twerps find an ailing Skitty, and May is obsessed with how cute it is, and so is Jessie, even though I think Skitty's not very cute. Meowth wants to fuck it, because Meowth is a freak, and the majority of the episode takes place at the aromatherapy lab, which seemed like bunk science to me, but I don't know anything about this in real life, let alone the Pokemon world, so I don't know if you have any insight to provide on that, Alex. But there's a lady named Eliza.
Time. Why would you think I know about aromatherapy?
I don't know anything about this kind of stuff.
I don't either, but now that's making me want to like look it up and see if there's any basis to this.
Like, this episode felt like a paid commercial for like a big aromatherapy.
Were they trying to push some kind of product? Was there like Pokemon oil diffusers or something at this time?
What exactly is this? Is it essential oils? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, according to... I love how we've sidetracked ourselves right before we've even started. According to this website, John Hopkins Medicine, aromatherapy, do essential oils really work?
No. The answer is no, I imagine.
According to this, it says they can make a positive impact on your health and well-being as long as you use them in a safe way. What are essential oils? They're basically plant extracts. Aromatherapy is the practice of using essential oils for therapeutic benefit. It's been used for centuries. When inhaled, the scent molecules in essential oils travel from the olfactory nerves directly into the brain and especially impact the amygdala, the emotional center of the brain. People claim essential oils are natural remedies for a number of ailments, but there's not enough research to determine their effectiveness in human health. Studies indicate there's some benefit to using essential oils, while others show there's no improvement in symptoms. So basically what I'm seeing here is that it's kind of a crapshoot whether it works or not.
I mean, it can't hurt, right? I imagine.
I mean, this says it can lift your mood and make you feel good.
That's nice. That's great. I love candles. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, maybe it's kind of like that, you know? it's just a feel-good thing, like promoting relaxation, reducing anxiety. I mean, if you feel better, you become less anxious, so...
True. This is what Wikipedia has to say.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Fragrances used in aromatherapy are not approved as prescription drugs in the United States. Although there is insufficient medical evidence that aromatherapy can prevent, treat, or cure any disease, aromatherapy is used by some people with diseases, such as cancer, to provide general well-being and relief from pain, nausea, or stress. People may use blends of essential oils as a topical application, massage, inhalation, or water immersion. What is water immersion?
I don't know.
Is that like a bath bomb?
Perhaps. Okay, I guess there's mixed reviews and evidence on whether the effectiveness is there or not, but if it works for you to relax you and it provides a benefit that way, then might as well. It doesn't seem dangerous. So, I mean, I will say I've used diffusers before, like the essential oil diffusers. I mean, it just makes the room smell good if nothing else.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
It's nice. I mean, like you said, you love candles. You like to collect candles.
Right. So, they're expensive, but yes.
Yes, they are very expensive.
The good ones, anyway.
Every time we go buy a Yankee Candle and try to find a sale, there's never any, like, sale.
No,
they act like it's a sale, but there's no sale.
Sale, only $300 per one candle.
They're like $60. It's insane.
Yeah, it's
You're out
wild.
Of your mind if you buy at full price. Anyway.
I need to talk to Leslie, because Leslie's always like, I know how to get the best deals at Yankee Candle, but then I never see any actual evidence of this happening.
I know. I feel like we've gone in there with them, and we're like, okay, where's all these, like, supposed deals? Regardless of aromatherapy effectiveness in humans, we are going to see that the effects on Pokemon are quite different. So let's jump right in and talk about it. We have come back from Chronicles Land, and we're just in normal filler land now. The twerps have stopped for rest and lunch, and so Mei is using the opportunity during their downtime to continue to train with Beautifly and her Frisbees. Oh my god.
I don't want to see these fucking Frisbees ever again.
I know. I thought we were done with that.
No more Frisbees.
Well, we have to deal with it for now anyway. I really wish that she would branch out and try something more dynamic.
You know what she needs? A new Pokemon.
Yeah, she really does. I think we're overdue for a new Pokemon. Hopefully we can remedy that soon. So Mei gets a little carried away by this whole Frisbee tossing thing, and so she throws the Frisbee somewhere off into the random side area and sends Torchic to retrieve it because she's too lazy to go get it herself. So poor Torchic has been reduced to nothing more than like the little golf caddy boy. Torchic runs down the hill and smashes its poor little face on a rock after it trips. It's so sad. But as it's recovering, it discovers there's something nearby in the tall grass. So it goes to investigate. And what do you know? We have come across a sick and dying Skitty that's huddled, shivering in the bush. Poor thing.
Do you think Skitty is cute?
No.
No, it's not a good cat Pokemon, I don't think. It looks weird.
I'm sorry to any Skitty lovers out there or Delcatty fans. I'm just not... They never were, like, impressive to me.
Delcatty is better. Skitty kind of looks like a taxidermy animal.
Oh, my God. It looks very waxy.
Yeah.
Like plastic. I don't know.
It doesn't have a spark of life to it.
And I kind of agree with your assessment in the beginning. It looks like an alien cat.
An alien cat?
Little, like... What do you call those things? Those little ball things that are coming off its tail? I just think it's kind of weird.
What are those even supposed to be? Like what, like a plant?
Is it supposed to be like little cat toys? Like the little cat
ball toys? Yeah, that makes sense. It's like a toy.
It's weird. I'm sorry. It's not my favorite.
That reminds me, alien cat. Have you seen the Star Wars cats that have been introduced in recent years?
No, I don't believe so.
They're called Tukas.
What the? Oh my.
I like it. I think it's cute.
What movie was this from?
It's in the shows.
Oh, well, that would explain why I haven't seen them. Where's its nose? It looks so weird.
Here's its nose.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it does look like an alien, but it doesn't really look like a cat. I don't know what it looks like.
Well, I mean, monkey lizards look nothing like a monkey or a lizard.
What's a monkey lizard?
That weird little thing around Jabba the Hutt's neck.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Skitty looks weird, and oh my god, what the hell? Is that the same thing?
That's like cartoon version of it, yeah.
Ew, I don't like that at all. Austin's sending me pictures of, what did you call it again?
Tuca cats.
Tuca cats. Oh, I don't like that. That's scary. I don't like that at all. It looks like a frog.
I kind of like it better than Skitty, to be honest.
I mean, it's definitely more distinct, but this thing is scary. Ugh.
I will say this. They did a pretty good job with making this Skitty have a personality.
Even if it's annoying.
Yes, but it has a personality. That's more than some fortress can say.
Oh, poor thing. It's not Fortress's fault that it has to stay in the ball all the time.
Okay.
I guess you're right. Having a personality, even if it's annoying, is better than no personality. Anyway, so we've discovered this Skitty that's nesting in the bushes, and supposedly it's a wild Skitty. There's no trainer or anybody to be found. We just swoop this thing up, take it to the Pokemon Center. There's something wrong with it, so the Twerps are like, okay, well, we have to interject ourselves and save it. But we don't have a Pokemon Center nearby, unfortunately. Instead, we have something better? Different? Question mark? I don't even know. Different? Brock, being the font of exposition that he is, knows that there just so happens to be nearby a place called the Greenhouse.
That sounds like a growth facility.
I know, the Greenhouse. Sounds like an underground, like, club or something. I don't know.
It sounds untoward, whatever it is. And I guess it might be untoward.
It's a little untoward. There's something going on here. Anyway, Brock knows about this because he does mention that he saw an infomercial.
For all that TV watching they do.
When would they ever have had time? Like, did they just see an advertisement, like, on a TV while they were walking through a town? Or at a Pokemon Center? Like, where would they see a TV?
Are we to assume there's a lot of hours of them at the Pokemon Center watching TV and just hanging out that we don't see?
What other conclusion can you draw? I would assume so, yes.
I mean, if we remember that one time, Brock is carrying around, like, large hardcover books with him at all times. So there's a lot of downtime for reading.
I suppose there's more to this than we see at any given time. But he knows about this place, and he's like, I saw it on TV, and this is just the place that we need to go. We have to get some aromatherapy treatments. So we show up here. It's a very nice looking place. And this woman walks up and she's like, hello, welcome to the Greenhouse. I'm Eliza.
And I can talk to animals, but it's totally secret.
Oh, that was a good show when I got to watch it. Because as you know, I didn't grow up with cable. So Eliza is here and she runs this place, this aromatherapy lab. And she's not a trained medical professional, but she does know enough to determine that Skitty is just fatigued. It's not sick or dying. It's just tired.
Great. That's convenient.
It is. So she's like, you know what? I can help. I have just the thing. And so she mixes up a concoction of different essential oils, I suppose, to help it feel a little better. Is there any relation between like this and like smelling salts?
I wrote smelling salt in my notes. But then she diffuses it through the room, so that can't be a smelling salt.
Okay, maybe not then.
I mean, what else could it have been? Poppers?
Pokemon poppers, sure.
Ooh.
Well, it doesn't work on the people. We find that out. It's, like, ineffective on humans, but it has a profound effect on Pokemon. Because, as we see, the Pokemon love this stuff. They get high off of it. We decide to split up. May is going to stick with Skitty and see it through its convalescence, I suppose. And the boys, on the other hand, are like, well, let's go on a tour and like see what's around. So Eliza takes them out to walk around the lab facility. Meanwhile, Team Rocket has arrived, and Jesse and James think to themselves, oh, how nice would it be to have a Pokemon spa day where they can treat their Pokemon to some aromatherapy? And I don't know, this whole conversation just reminded me of when we were talking about the Training Days episode and how Jesse and James would be content to just have a normal, relaxing day, but it's Meowth who jumps in with a different idea.
Yeah, it's become their MO at this point, hasn't it?
It has. Jesse and James are like, oh wow, this would be so nice. Like, I can treat Seviper to some aromatherapy, and Cacnea would benefit from this, and maybe, like, chill out from its normal hyperactivity. But Meowth is like, no, no, we can do better than that. We have to steal all these perfumes for Giovanni. Because that's just what he wants, is a bunch of essential oils.
Don't you just love the boss fantasies?
I love them when they're the sexy, weird ones.
Yeah, this was not sexy or weird.
This was Meowth's, like, imagining Giovanni in his, like, pajamas with his, like, stocking cap on his head again.
Yes, it is.
And I think the implication here is Meowth thinks that Giovanni doesn't brush his teeth well enough.
That was kind of funny, I guess.
Because he's like, all we have to do is make Giovanni sniff this stuff, so that way he brushes his teeth longer and better.
I think we should have a boss fantasy about sealing Giovanni an automated toothbrush that times out the amount of time you need to use it. I think that'd be a lot more successful.
Just send him an Oral-B automatic toothbrush.
Yep, I got one of those.
Would Giovanni be like one of those celebrities that like smell bad? I feel like he'd smell bad. Is he like a Brad Pitt or whatever? Like, I've always heard Brad Pitt smells.
I don't think of Giovanni as a celebrity. I think of him as like a mob boss.
He's famous, right? He has a theme park.
Does anyone know? And a blimp company. It's not Giovanni Land.
You don't think he's a celebrity? I feel like he's a minor celebrity. I feel like he's at different, like, charitable events and galas and things like that.
Yeah, I think he's, like, one of those rich people that you don't know unless you're rich.
He's definitely in, like, high society circles, I feel like.
Correct.
But do you think that he's, like, well-kept, or do you think he's smelly? Because Meowth seems to think Giovanni does not brush his teeth, so...
For my own well-being, mentally, I'm going to say Giovanni is a very hygienic man.
Okay. He does wear an orange suit, so there's some questionable choices. I don't know.
That's a good point. I've gotten to the point where I see someone like Jake Gyllenhaal, and all I can think about is them saying, yeah, I never shower, and I never practice basic hygiene, and I just, like, am repulsed by it.
Ugh.
I see some of those celebrities, I'm like, oh god, you're disgusting, get away from me.
I know, all that money, and you can't even, like, take a bath.
Money doesn't buy sense.
That is true. So I don't know. I want to agree with you. I want to, because I love Giovanni, so I'm going to also, for my sanity, assume that he is a very hygienic person who puts a great emphasis on personal grooming. So anyway, that's Meowth's big idea, is he wants to steal a bunch of perfumes, which, I guess to be fair, perfume is expensive as hell. Some of those bottles are upwards of like $100 or more, so...
This was taking me back to the Erica episode. Way back in season one.
You might have to remind me, because that's a long time ago.
Erica had a perfume shop that the twerps went to, and Ash was loud-mouthing, like, this is stupid. And the girls, like, threw him out, and they, like, stopped him from entering the gym. So Team Rocket dressed up as his parents, and they dressed up Ash like a little girl to join Erica's perfume classes.
Oh, right!
And Team Rocket's true goal was to find, like, the most expensive perfume. But somehow they started a perfume chemical fire.
Oh, that is right. I forgot they had Ash dress up as a girl to be in her class.
Little Ashley, yeah.
Oh, I miss those days.
He was just Juliet the other day.
Yeah, he's been cosplaying a lot recently, and he will again in the next episode, so stay tuned.
All right, that's a much better episode.
I know, we'll get there. We have to get through this first. Okay, so they decide that they're going to steal the fragrances, but James actually points out that this idea is ridiculous because the fragrances only work on Pokemon and not people, so that wouldn't work. Giovanni would not get any effect off of this, so they decide to scrap that and just steal them for the Pokemon. Back inside, Skitty has recovered from whatever is wrong with it, and it's feeling much better.
Which it would have done with or without the aromatherapy.
Yeah, it just needed a nap or something. But it becomes clear why the Skitty has tired itself out. And that's because it's hyperactive and crazy and goes absolutely bonkers over its own tail and chases it around and anything that resembles a tail. So May cannot contain her excitement. She's like, oh my god, I love this hyperactive cat that's destructive and crazy, and I'm gonna catch it. So she sends out Torchic to battle it inside, and everybody's like, oh, you're gonna do that in here? Okay. So before she even has a chance to catch it, Team Rocket blows out the glass windows and attacks them. Josh pointed out something I didn't even know that this was a thing. He's like, this, their outfits when they jump in are a reference to something.
Yeah, it's like an old anime, right?
Yes, I didn't know this. I looked it up, and of course, Bulbapedia had the trivia section on it. Apparently, it's a manga called The Rose of Versailles.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Which I don't know anything about. Do you have any knowledge of this?
None whatsoever. All I know is that they wore these outfits when they went to Scissor Street and met Susie.
Oh my god, Scissor Me Street. I forgot Scissor all Me about
Street.
That.
I had to stop myself from saying Scissor Me Street and say Scissor Street instead.
That's an inside joke, guys, from like a long time ago.
Yes, maybe they've worn them since, I don't know, but that's where I recognized it from.
I wouldn't have got that. To me, it said Revolutionary Girl Utena, but I guess it's kind of similar.
I mean, they referenced Utena in the Erica episode, I'll say that much.
Yeah, so not a far throw from that. But yeah, no, I don't know of this manga, but apparently it is a reference. They were dressed up.
And they were cross-dressing too. Yay for cross-dressing for everyone.
Yeah, James had the dress on and Jessie was rocking that princely outfit that she had on. So their fit is always fire. So Saviper uses Haze, and in the confusion, this is basically like a big Scooby-Doo moment because Meowth gets distracted when he falls in love with Skitty, which, ew.
Gross.
Ugh.
This is like worse than usual somehow.
It was just as bad. Well, actually, this is probably worse than when he was crushing on that Skitty in the Pichu Brothers shorts.
I mean, that Skitty wasn't, like, brain damaged like this one is. It's like an adult man lusting for a cat. It's gross.
Yeah. I don't like it when they have Meowth in love with a Pokemon. Ugh. And Skitty is even less sentient than some of the other Pokemon that we have.
Right. Something like Meowzy, like has an intelligence to her. The Skitty does not. Like, this is weird.
Skitty's, like, just an animal, and like Meowth is like a person. It's very strange. Not a fan. But there is this whole confusion scene, and during the attack, Team Rocket is able to make off with a bunch of the bags filled with fragrance bottles. Brock is outraged at this, and he is like, I will not let you steal from my beloved Eliza. So he manages to get one of the bags back. However, they quickly realize that Skitty and half of the merchandise is gone, so Team Rocket must have stolen them all and gotten away in the fog. Jessie has discovered Skitty now after it has stowed away, and she is like, oh my god, it's so cute, I must have it. But Meowth, in a very rare turn of events, has decided to go against Team Rocket's ultimate goal of catching Skitty and decides to sabotage the effort that they make to catch it because he wants to spare Skitty a lifetime of misery and pain, getting blasted off constantly. So he's like, I cannot allow this to happen. I love you too much. So he's like, go on, get out of here.
Yeah, very Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes. Not much happens from here, honestly, guys. It's pretty
trainers.
Boring. Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Trainers. Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle against Silcoon? Sableye, Meryl, or Weezing?
Battle against Silcoon?
Yes.
Sableye, what are my other choices?
Meryl or Weezing?
I don't know. Weezing?
Okay, trainers, if you chose Weezing, you were right.
Am I right?
Weezing!
I feel like I'm not right, but like, why is Weezing the best choice?
Is Poison better against Bug?
I don't think so. Doesn't it resist? I'm not sure.
Does it? I have no idea.
You'd have to look at a type chart. I'm so sorry.
Okay, what does this say? Bug being super effective against poison seemed to be a glitch, but poison being super effective against bug stayed in a few games? What?
Wait, what?
What?
Was this early coding weirdness or?
Oh my god, why are there so many weird glitches in Gen 1?
Because it's early days.
I know.
Wait, Bug was super effective against Poison? That's weird.
Okay, so this says Bug-type moves are half effective against Poison-types, typically. Okay. In Generation 1 only, Bug-type moves were super effective against Poison-type Pokemon, and Poison-type moves were super effective against Bug-type Pokemon. What the fuck?
But you said that was Gen 1. This is Gen 3. Are they basing this off of Gen 1? Like, that's really weird.
I think we're going to classify this one as too confusing to classify.
What were the other choices? The other choices was Meryl, which, okay, nothing. And then Sableye, which is a ghost type. Does Bug have any effect on ghost types? Or no, that's psychic type.
Okay. So Bug type moves are also half as effective against ghost type moves, apparently.
Okay.
So I guess Sableye and Weezing are equally...
I just think they're both... bad matchup. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna just say this is a error one. I don't think this is a true information.
Maybe we're like really bad at the metagame. Like, does anybody else out there have like insight? Do we sound ridiculous trying to talk about type matchups?
I think it's a Silcoon and literally anything could beat it, so I think all answers are correct.
I just picked Weezing because that was my favorite out of the three choices, so we're pretty much done with the episode. The trainer's choice thing was a little late, but yeah. So Meowth is like, okay, I can't allow you to be caught by Jesse because I am in love with you and I don't want to subject you to a life of being constantly in a state of loserness and getting blasted off all the time. So get out of here, Skitty. And Skitty just bounds off into the woods, none the wiser, because it has no thoughts in its head. Meanwhile, Eliza has used her Oddish's sweet scent to kind of lure everyone back to a central location, and that is where Jesse and May get into a little battle over their desire to catch Skitty, and of course their rivalry between Dustox and Beautifly.
It was nice to see them again battling each other.
Yes, I love it when that happens, although I'm a bit disappointed that Jesse didn't get a little bit more chance to shine with Dustox, because May easily beats her, which I thought was sad.
Even Brock comments, May's doing a lot better lately.
I suppose, even though she's still out there with her same old shtick of using the frisbees and all that. So we have the little Jesse and May face-off. May is ultimately victorious because she's a twerp, and of course they can't ever give Team Rocket a win in any capacity. So they blast off again. Goodbye, Team Rocket. May, quote-unquote, catches Skitty, when it just sort of, like, puts itself into the Pokeball, like...
I think it thought the ball was a toy.
Yeah, it's like doing cat things and just kind of playing with the Pokeball, and it just sort of nudges itself into it, and they're like, oh, well, I guess you caught it, so congratulations. And now we have a very empty-headed Skitty on our team.
And it's the new Psyduck, because it lets itself out.
Yes, it's a ball popper.
Skitty... you were no Psyduck and you were no Wobbuffet. You're just a Skitty.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same charm as Psyduck and Wobbuffet popping out in comedic fashion. This one is just kind of annoying. We can already tell that May is not happy with the fact that it just lets itself out all the time, because she's constantly commenting on it. She's like, oh, you've come out again. Oh, great. Do you feel Skitty, Austin?
I feel like I'm ready for the MVP and LVP in quote.
Okay. Please let it happen so we can be done.
Flip. You're going first.
My MVP is going to be Max, because this is the first time we see Max do the ear pull.
Not true. He's done it before.
Oh, when?
I think he did it in like the Shift Tree episode or something like that.
Did he really?
It was really quick.
Okay, well, Bulbapedia lied to me then, because it claims on this episode that this is the first time he has taken over that role from Misty.
Oh, maybe he didn't do the ear pull. Maybe he did, like, he just grabbed Brock and dragged him away.
Maybe, but it's the ear specifically.
Okay, fair enough.
Because according to Bulbapedia in the trivia section, he learned that move from Misty during the Togepi episodes, because mm-hmm. He saw her grab his ear.
He pulled Brock away from Eliza 5 times in this episode. I counted.
Was it 5 times?
5 times.
We didn't really talk about Brock and his predatory behavior in this episode, but he was really bad this time around. He was constantly popping over to her and, like, harassing her.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Eliza woman is so hot. I really like how generic and boring and bland she was. That's a real turn-on for Brock, apparently.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a plain woman.
A plain Jane.
speaking as a plain woman myself.
Oh, you're hotter than Eliza.
Well, Brock, maybe it's been a long time since he's seen a girl. I can't remember, honestly, the last time we saw a girl that Brock would be interested in. But anyway, so Max gets MVP because he's taken up that role, and I think it's funny, even though he's a little kid and he shouldn't be responsible for corralling Brock's predatory behavior, but...
With Misty doing it, I feel like it's a kind of like women have to bear the burden of male attention. With Max doing it, I think it's a bit funnier because Max is like the child who's like not having it with this behavior. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I can see that. I'm going to give my LVP to Giovanni for not brushing his teeth, apparently.
You and Giovanni LVPs lately.
I know. I can't believe this is happening. Usually I stan Giovanni, but if you don't brush your teeth, that's foul. Just take a second to just scrub those pearly whites. But the fact that Meowth is fantasizing that Giovanni would actually brush his teeth says to me that Giovanni is not doing what he needs to do in that regard. There's not a lot of good quotes, unfortunately, this episode. So I have Eliza. This is when we first meet her, Eliza, and she says, "Won't you please come in through the front entrance?" And Brock says, "Of course I'll be happy to come in through the front entrance."
I'm glad one of us said that, because was that on purpose or not? I think it was.
It had to have been, right?
Yeah, that was on purpose. Yeah.
I was watching this episode with Josh, and he was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I thought he was going to say something else.
Yeah.
If you know, kind of joke.
Someone's having fun. I'm glad someone's having fun with this episode, at least.
Yep. All right, there you go.
Okay, so my MVP, I guess, oh Jesus, I don't want to give it to anyone. My MVP is going to be James. For the moment when he sees a bunch of Weeping Bell outside of the greenhouse, and he flips out because he loves Weeping Bell, and he's like, "Oh my god, we had to get the Weeping Bell, get the Weeping Bell, Weeping Bell." And Jesse's like, "No, we're leaving now." And she literally takes off with the bloom without James. I'm sorry, am I like shrouded in a heavenly light right now, or am I imagining things?
Yeah, it looks like you have a filter over your screen. It's like very hazy.
What the hell is going...
What is it happening? Aromatherapy? Are you getting aromatherapied?
Maybe I'm getting like slowly gassed to death. So there's like an optical illusion on my camera that makes it look like... Okay, if I put my hand up like this... Yeah, it's the like sunlight behind me.
It looks like you're sitting in a cloud of like smoke. Like what is happening?
Okay,
it's very appropriate for the episode.
All right, my LVP is me for dying in a gas leak.
Oh my god.
I mean, I guess my LVP will be Brock for needing to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, he was insidious this episode.
My quote will be, this is actually kind of cute, Skitty meows at May, and May screams, "Ah, I have to catch it!" Veronica Taylor did a good job with that line. Okay, that's it.
Great job, Austin. Okay, so the next one is Zigzag Zangoose.
All right, let's zigzag into this episode, Alex. You ready?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Too bad. 3, 2, 1, go.
So we run into a furry wandering through the woods. Oh, wait, no, it's our old friend Nikolai, the Knickerbocker kid from before. He has been traveling around challenging the gym. He met Norman, but didn't win. So he has a Zangoose now, and Zangoose has a bitter rivalry with Seviper. Turns out Jesse is here with her Seviper. They get into a big battle, and ultimately Jesse loses and...
Time.
Yeah. What to even say about this? Good lord.
Well, you said you had a lot to say about this episode.
There's one part...
Okay.
...that I love.
Interrupt me when we get there. All right.
Okay.
Oh my god, it's fucking Nikolai again. Hooray. Yay, yay. I warned you he'd be back.
Do you want to give a refresher on who the hell this kid is?
Nikolai is one of the crazier people we've met recently. He is obsessed with wearing shorts, and he has a strange worldview where shorts are the key to success. And he's very loud and very obnoxious, And he also likes to dress in Pokemon cosplay of the Pokemon he owns.
Yeah.
I hate him. And I am tired of him already. So he's here. He has challenged Norman and lost because Norman does not suffer fools, I suppose. But Norman and Caroline did give him a home-cooked meal when he mentioned he knew May and Max. And I think Norman and Caroline were like, oof, this was a mistake.
What do you even say about that? Like, you can just name drop May and Max and get a free meal out of Norman and Caroline? Like, how did they know that he really knows them?
Well, they literally met Nikolai the day after they left Petalburg City.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I think that's the timeline. Well, maybe like 2 days after.
How did you feel about that vision of Norman in shorts?
What the fuck was that? Nikolai's like, Norman was wearing shorts. And May and Max are indignant. And they say, no, he was not wearing shorts.
There's no way on earth Norman would be caught dead in shorts.
What?
Why is he fantasizing about a grown man wearing shorts?
I mean, we all have kinks, I guess.
Is it like, oh my God, is it like, I'm not trying to kink shame, okay? That's not what I'm doing. But is it like that weird show, that My Strange Addiction, where the guy was like sexually attracted to balloons?
That's the best episode of that show.
Yes, that's what it was giving me. Like, is this kid just like turned on by shorts? Like, people have inanimate object fascinations. He's obsessed.
I don't want to talk about this. We're done.
Okay.
Instead, we're going to talk about Ash battling Nikolai for a practice battle, and it's going to be a 2-on-2, and it's Nikolai's newly evolved Marshtomp versus Treecko. But as we have learned, Marshtomp is part ground type, unlike Mudkip. So Treecko is able to take it out pretty handily, despite some suffering. At this point, Team Rocket are spying from the bushes, and Jessie lets out Seviper because it's plot convenient. And she says, Seviper, observe what's happening, so we can attack them when they're done battling. But in that moment, Nikolai lets out his Zangoose, and Zangoose senses something in the air. And it jumps into the bushes, throws out Team Rocket, and Seviper and Zangoose's blood feud is on.
Oh, wow. You know what this reminds me of? Oh my gosh. This was like one of my favorite animated films when I was a kid.
What?
Have you ever seen Riki Tiki Tavi?
What the fuck is that?
The mongoose and the snake.
No.
You don't remember that?
I don't think I've ever heard of this.
I'm pretty sure it's a Rudyard Kipling story.
What is
You've
this?
You've never heard of this? Yeah, it's Ricky? A short story by Rudyard Kipling.
Right.
Yeah, it's about a mongoose who's adopted by a British family who's living in India and protects the family from the antagonists, which are two cobras.
Okay, so let's talk about this
mongoose
briefly.
And snakes, yeah.
That portrays the snake as the antagonist and the mongoose as a heroic figure.
Yes.
That's what this episode does, because the Viper is the antagonistic Team Rocket Pokemon, and the mongoose is, you know, who we're supporting.
Yeah, that's why it's giving me that.
From Eliza Thornberry, actually, there's an episode of The Wild Thornberries where Eliza befriends a mongoose who is like our protagonist versus an evil snake antagonist.
Really?
Yeah, it just came to me all of a sudden.
That's sad. Why can't the snake ever be the good guy? Why do we have to misrepresent snakes like that?
Okay, someone correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is mongooses are predators of snakes, right?
I believe so.
Basically, a mongoose is never going to lose to a snake, right?
I don't know enough about mongoose and snake interactivity. Like, honestly, I don't know.
I'm Googling it. Can a mongoose lose to a snake?
Do they have some kind of immunity to venom?
Apparently, their specialty is avoiding bites.
Okay.
And they have some sort of protein.
It says they have venom resistance.
Yeah. Okay. So basically what we're taking away from this is mongooses are mammals, so therefore we're supposed to root for them. And snakes are icky and gross and reptiles, and they are scary. So they are the bad guys.
Yeah. Poor Seviper.
So obviously I like Seviper better than Zangoose, but I do like how their designs complement each other. And they have kind of like the battle wounds.
Yeah, the scars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool touch.
That is cool. I don't know. I never really, like, playing these games, I never really used Seviper or Zangoose just because they were both single form Pokemon, and I just never bothered.
They're also version exclusives.
Oh, really? Oh, is Swiper Sapphire and Zangus Ruby, or do I have it backwards?
I don't know if I'm bad.
Okay.
I do know in XY, they might attack you as a group and then fight each other instead of you.
That's fun. Oh, the horde battles?
Yeah.
Oh, that is fun.
Anyway, for those who don't know, which is probably very few people, Zangoose and Sviper have a instinctual hatred for each other, and they can sense each other from a distance. And if one of them's nearby, they will just lose their shit and fight to the death. Which really makes me want to see an episode where a trainer has both of them on a team together.
Oh, what would that dynamic look like?
Yeah, why has that never happened?
Because that would be too good of an episode for Pokemon.
But Sviper is like, it's fucking on. Sviper has kind of reverted back to the Sviper it was when we first met it as a super competent, vicious Sviper.
I loved it.
Meowth and James were like, Sviper, stop it. And Sviper's like, fuck off, and like bashes them away. And they all go rolling down into a river, including the Zangoose, actually. And Zangoose is actually, like, drowning in the river. And Sviper's like, I don't care. I want you fucking dead. So it swims up and tries to beat the shit out of it. But Ash has Corphish intervene and beats up Sviper. And they get the Zangoose back to shore.
Butt out, Ash.
What? Yeah. Let nature take its course.
Right? Okay, first of all, the fact that Ash butted in, like, Jesse wasn't doing anything. They were just standing there, and well, they were spying and eavesdropping, which, okay, whatever. But wouldn't it be between the two trainers? Like, this should be between Nikolai and Jesse. Ash needs to butt the hell out.
I do think if these were wild Pokemon, he should butt out. But since these are both owned Pokemon, it's a bit different.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be up to the trainers to intervene?
Yeah.
And not Ash? Like, I don't know. I'm rooting for Jesse and Sviper this episode. That's where my loyalty is.
So. Of course. Of course we are rooting for Jesse and Sviper over fucking Nikolai, the worst character of all of Hoenn.
Goodness, yes. It just makes me mad that she had the upper hand. Sviper was winning. And then here comes Ash to ruin everything.
The twerps and Nikolai get back to Nikolai's little tent, and Zangoose is, like, dying on the ground. So Brock cooks up some, like, medicinal herb soup for it.
Brock stew.
Brock stew looks better than this crap. It was, like, green.
Oh, God, yeah.
They should have taken it to Eliza and been like, Eliza, we need your best aromatherapy. And she'd be like, the greenhouse is closed today. Bye.
Right.
Nikolai claims, I understand, Zangoose. I understand why you want to kill that Sviper so much. I do too. Which I think is bullshit. I don't think Nikolai understands what Zangoose is feeling. Jesse, meanwhile, understands exactly what Sviper is feeling. Because she understands what it's like to have someone on the planet Earth that you would just want to eliminate entirely. Cassidy! We see a little vision of Cassidy in a bubble, which Jesse immediately tears to pieces. Ah!
What is it like to have an arch enemy? I don't have an arch enemy. There's nobody that I like, that I know in my personal real life as a real person. I mean, there's plenty of current people in positions of leadership right now that I hate, but they're like a nebulous idea, right? Because we've never met them and we don't know them personally. But I don't have anybody like in my life that I hate like that.
I mean, I don't have any anime-esque rivalries with anyone who is my equal and counterpart with whom I have a deeply personal and irrational grudge against. That has not happened in my lifetime, no.
I mean, there's plenty of people we've encountered that we don't get along with, but I wouldn't say, like, in the same way of, like, oh, I hate them. Like, no.
I don't have the energy to waste on that, but I'm not like Jesse. Yeah. Jesse has boundless energy.
Yes, of course.
Jesse's also a cartoon character, unlike us, so that might explain it.
Fair, yes.
Back at the twerps, Ash is like, I know, Nikolai, I'm going to help you with your Sviper training, because I know exactly what it's like to fight a Sviper. I fight a Sviper every fucking day. So, naturally, Nikolai's like, okay, it's on, and he magically transforms into his Zangoose attire. And Ash is like, me too. And he magically transforms into his giant Sviper costume.
This is the part.
Okay, talk about it.
Oh my God. what's to say? Okay, this is one of those episodes where it's very visual in terms of the joke. Like, the fact that Ash whips out a full-sized Saviper costume and starts running around like a lunatic is my absolute favorite thing. And the fact that he's got the Saviper mannerisms down where he's like, burr, 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 as he's like running. It's perfect.
Wait, did Ash make the burp burp noises?
Yes. Yes, he did.
He did? Oh my God, I missed that.
At least once I heard the burp noise.
Oh, that's too funny.
It's perfect. It is perfect.
So Viper was like on display this episode with its cute little noises and everything.
I love it so much.
This is bizarre. Me and Max think this is the stupidest thing on Earth. But Brock thinks that actually this is a good idea. Because Nikolai needs to understand what it's like to be the Zangoose. And Pikachu's like, yeah, that's a good point, Brock.
Yeah, okay.
This goes on for a little while, and Skitty pops out, and Skitty decides that Ash is its new toy, and starts chasing him around, LOL. But then things get serious when Zangoose hears Saviper in the distance and runs off to find it. But oh no, it's still too battle damaged to do anything. Ah! Trainers! Which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to battle Ninjask? Torkoal, Dewgong, or Nosepass?
All of them?
Trainers, if you chose Dewgong, you were right, but that's not actually true because they all have a type advantage over Ninjask.
Why? Okay, so Torkoal, fire type, Dewgong, ice type, and what was the last one again?
Nosepass, rock type.
Rock type, yeah. What the fuck? Wait, okay, Ninjask is bug flying, right?
Yes, yeah.
So, well, why wouldn't it be Torkoal? Well, no, because the fire, okay, so that, yeah, the fire would be for the bug. Ice would be for flying, and then Nosepass rock would be good against flying. Where is the logic? What? I'm so confused.
Oh my God, what the fuck is happening?
Oh my God, Austin, what are you being like raptured? What the fuck what is the happening? What is happening? Oh my God.
What was that? Okay, guys. In my physical space, I can't see anything weird happening, but on the webcam, I am literally being like chosen by a holy spirit.
Literally, we were sitting there talking and all of a sudden this huge flash of light comes from behind Austin and it envelops him completely. It's gone now. What happened?
Oh, no, it's back. It's back.
Oh, it's back. It's happening.
I think the sun is peering out from behind the clouds.
Are you receiving signals from the mothership? This is so weird.
Oh my God. Okay, we're just going to ignore the fact that I'm being raptured.
Okay.
Jesse has set up a microphone PA system in which Saviper has been put up in front of a mic and is going into the microphone to be broadcast in like 3 miles in every direction.
The Saviper signal.
I love Jesse. I love Saviper.
I know. They're so great.
Is Saviper Jesse's best Pokemon ever? Wobbuffet excluded.
What are her other Pokemon?
Arbok, Lickitung, Dustox, and then later ones.
Okay, so far, yes, of course.
Yeah. But can you think of any others in the future that beat
it? What are her Pokemon in Diamond and Pearl?
Saviper and Dustox.
Oh, so she keeps them.
And Yanmega.
Oh, Yanmega, but we don't really see Yanmega very much. Okay, what are her Pokemon after that? Like, when she gets rid of Dustox and Saviper.
Okay, spoiler zone.
Spoiler, if you don't want to hear it, skip ahead.
Frillish, Gorgeist, shit, what else? What does she have in Sun and Moon? She has, oh, Mimikyu is a good one.
Okay, until we get to Mimikyu, but I feel like Mimikyu is like a Team Rocket Pokemon, like overall, not just hers. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Saviper definitely has to be the best.
It's better than Arbok. Sorry, Arbok.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Arbok had a good noise too, the Chahabok, but Saviper's better. Sorry. It's more dynamic.
Yeah, it has more personality in that way. Spoiler over, by the way.
Oh, spoiler over.
I think that's pretty fair assessment.
All right. Zangoose runs out, and Jesse says, none of you interfere. This is Saviper versus Zangoose, and their trainers can get involved, but none of the rest of you stay out of it. This is not your business. But James and Meowth don't really listen to Jesse, because they use Handy Andy to get Pikachu into a electroproof cage. And the twerps all chase after them for a while. There's a funny moment where Meowth subs in for Jesse in the motto. I love when he does that.
That was cute.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the twerps versus James and Meowth catastrophe. ends with a giant dust cloud, like Looney Tunes style, of like, you know, flailing limbs coming out in all directions. And somehow it concludes with Wobbuffet holding Pikachu's cage and running for dear life as the twerps pursue him. And Wobbuffet starts darting left and right. Because Wobbuffet is nothing else if not a survivor.
I'm a survivor. I'm not gonna give up. I don't remember the rest of it.
I mean, I could see Wobbuffet as the next generation's Beyonce.
Definitely.
Queen W.
For sure.
Nikolai spots this madness happening in the corner, and he's like, oh my god. That's what we were doing when we were LARPing as a giant Zangoose and Seviper. If Zangoose moves in a zigzag pattern, Seviper won't be able to catch up with it, and Zangoose can ambush it. Which I thought, gee, Nikolai, maybe you should have already known this, given the fact that you own a zigzag goon that does that exact thing, and in fact has it in its name.
Nikolai is not known for his strategy or battling prowess.
He's known for his creepy costumes and for his obsession with Norman shorts.
Ugh.
Or lack thereof. I don't know. I thought that would tie in somehow, but apparently not. Jesse has had enough, and she yells at everyone to fucking stop messing around. And so Zangoose wins, but Jesse's still proud of Seviper for its hard work and for trying. And then Pikachu blasts them off. Bye. So we start with Nikolai versus Ash, and it's that zigzagoon that Nikolai somehow remembered exist all of a sudden. And Zigzagoon versus Pikachu, and the episode ends without any conclusion. The end, we never see Nikolai again. Hopefully he got killed by a survivor.
We never see him again?
Not that I can recall.
Wow, what an unceremonious departure. He just shows up for no other reason other than to introduce the Zangoose and Seviper rivalry.
I would have much rather had a random character who had a Zangoose than this shit.
I mean, why? Like, why? Why? I'm so confused.
I don't know.
Ah! Okay, well, goodbye, Nikolai. Maybe he got killed by a pack of Sevipers who came to get their revenge.
We can only hope.
Goodbye, Nikolai. You will not be missed.
Let's wish him farewell with a coin flip. Flip, you're going first.
Okay, well, obviously, my MVP is Seviper. I mean...
Yes.
Duh. It's so adorable. I love its little noise that it makes. It's like... Burr, 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 and then it was a baddie this episode. I definitely think Seviper would have been victorious. And honestly, like, when they were floating down the river, it was about to win until Corphish stepped in.
That should have been the end.
That should have been the end. So Viper deserved a win for once. And like you mentioned earlier, I like that we kind of got a homage to how it was prior to joining Team Rocket, when it was like an absolute badass, vicious, and kind of terrifying. I just love it. It's so great. My LVP is going to be, I guess it's going to have to be Nikolai in his shorts.
Of course.
I really don't have a reason why other than he's terrible, and I just don't like him, and I don't like his outfit.
He lacks a charm that someone like Richie has.
He's just weird, and he's not in a weird in a charming way. He's just, like, strange, so...
He's, like, abrasive.
And I'm glad we don't get to see him again, although I would have preferred, like, an actual ending versus some nebulous, like, oh, we're gonna battle with our Zangoose and Zigzagoon and goodbye, we don't have a conclusion, like...
What's your proposed conclusion for him?
Okay, that's a good point. I want him to, like, something ridiculous to happen to him. I don't know.
I want him to make a cameo where we don't talk to him at all, but we see him losing in the preliminaries of the Hoenn Championship.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, we just see it in the background.
Then we would have kind of a resolution for what happened to him.
I always wonder about those characters who lose in the prelims. Because it's like hundreds of them get eliminated before it even starts.
How hilarious would it have been if we saw him kind of silently get eliminated, like, in the very first round, and it's him versus, like, a Seviper trainer?
Yeah!
Yeah! Justice for Jesse and Seviper. That would have been perfect.
That's the true canon. We came up with it.
I subscribe to that. That's my thought. That's what happened to him. Okay, my quote. I guess the Jesse, when she's... raging about her hatred for Cassidy, she says, I understand. Everyone has one person in the world they wish they could abandon on an island or throw down a eradicate hole. Cassidy, for instance.
And Rachel Lillis' delivery is so fucking good.
I can't do her justice. It's so good. She's just perfect.
All right. I have two quotes, neither of which are great. Well, I'm going to use them both because I thought they were worth commenting on. One is Nikolai says, "Right after I saw you guys, I went ahead and challenged the leader of the Petalburg Gym." And May says, "You did? Did you see our dad?" She's like, you dumbass.
That is the leader of the Petalburg Gym.
What kind of awkward-ass exposition was that? Ugh, bad. And the other one is the ultimate reason for why Nikolai is the worst character in the Pokemon anime. When battling Jesse, he says, "No skirt-wearing girl will come close to beating us."
What in the misogyny?
I hated
that. How fucking rude.
Horrible.
No, yeah, he is horrible. Oh, I have another quote. Can I just, like, read it? Because it's
funny. Go for it. Go for it.
Okay, this is when Team Rocket is spying from the bushes initially, and they see Nikolai battling Ash. And James says, "Wait a minute. Isn't he the kid that we ran into before who's obsessed with his short pants?" And Jesse says, "I don't care if he likes his short pants, long pants, or underpants. I just want to get Pikachu."
How cute.
That was.
My MVP is obviously Jesse for being the most supportive trainer of all and loving her Sviper even when it loses, especially for rigging up that like audio system. That was really funny. My LVP, since Nikolai is already taken, I guess I'll give it to Norman and Caroline for having to meet Nikolai.
Oh.
Yep.
I suppose they have no choice but to accept all comers when it comes to gym challenges, so. I mean, it was funny. I thought the Sviper LARPing was really funny, and Ash is, like, cosplaying. Okay, Austin, our third and final episode. Woo! So what do you want to do for this one?
I guess I'm doing 30 seconds, the Flash Challenge.
Okay, all right. So I'll have to talk through this again.
Yeah, and you can talk through it in, like, 30 seconds as well, because I thought this was a pretty limp episode.
Limp.
Limp like a surf skit limb.
Ew, God, it's so noodly. I barely have half a page of notes on this, so I think we can just quickly run through. But anyway, you have 30 seconds to Flash Challenge yourself in 3, 2, 1, go.
Nurse Joy has a new voice actor. Okay, that's great. We meet the new Max, who is better than the old Max because he's taller and has better, more fashionable glasses. And he is really aggro for no reason whatsoever. But he's friends with a Surskit. And Max and Max hate each other. And Jesse becomes the creature from the Black Lagoon. And this is a weird episode. I didn't like it at all.
Time.
Okay, the end.
Yeah, it's just as Austin said. We're still on our way to Fall Arbor Town because we're still in filler hell.
Oh my God, we've been on our way to Fall Arbor Town, I feel like, for a long time.
I know. They're really not, there's no sense of urgency. Like, I thought the contest was happening pretty soon. Like, I don't understand what they're waiting for. Like, can we just please get to Fall Arbor Town, please? Anytime now. But before we do that, we have to stop again at a Pokemon Center that is situated on a picturesque lake. Skitty is continuing to cause chaos and trouble everywhere. It continues to let itself out of its ball and starts to spin around and spins itself right into people's faces, I suppose, which is actually kind of funny, but they're up to their shenanigans causing mischief in the Pokemon Center, but that's short-lived because a very angry-looking boy shows up in the doorway, and this kid is 100% a Max doppelganger slash clone.
They have the same haircut.
They have the same everything. They have the same hair, they have the same glasses, they have the same face. Caroline or Norman has some kind of explaining to do here.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Oh my God. This is probably Norman's errant child.
Do you think it's Norman's errant child? Okay.
Because Max looks like Norman.
That's true. So who would Norman's affair partner have been?
Random woman in the woods.
Random woman in the woods.
Yeah.
This kid looks exactly like Max. He's slightly older, though, because he's slightly taller than our Max. So he obviously stepped out on Caroline at some point.
I don't think it's stepping out if you have an agreement. I think they have an understanding.
Okay. Yeah, well, that is true, because they do swing with the Birches, so.
Right. I'm still convinced May is Professor Birch's daughter.
I mean, she doesn't look like Norman at all. She looks like, well, she definitely looks like Caroline, but she definitely also looks like Birch. Questions, right?
Everyone has secret children with everyone. It's hoeing, baby. We all hoeing up in here.
It's a free-for-all, really. Okay, so you mentioned that Nurse Joy has a new voice actress. I did not realize that.
I think she does. But I think it's the voice actress we've been hearing in the Chronicles episodes.
I will take your word for it. I didn't look it up. I'm not sure. I didn't even notice.
That's so funny because you noticed it before when she had a different voice in Chronicles. And now I'm noticing it in advance.
Maybe I'm just still used to her voice in Chronicles and then it didn't register for me. I don't know.
I could be mistaken. Someone, all please, if we say something in error, please correct us.
Call us out, man.
Remember that time I said Veronica Taylor played that crazy woman in that promotional video and it wasn't her at all? And I was just talking out of my ass for no reason.
She did sound so much like Delia, though.
She did sound very similar, yes.
I get what they were going for there.
That woman did a good job of imitating Veronica's Delia voice. I'll say that much.
She did, for sure. Speaking of voices, you know who else has a familiar voice? The other Max. He's voiced by our favorite.
Tara Sands?
Yeah, right? Is that?
I think it was her. It sounded like her.
It's Richie.
Yeah,
Richie. Tara Sands. Richie's here. Oh my God. They should have just had Richie, for God's sake, but whatever.
No, Richie's having like time travel adventures and all sorts of shit.
That's true. Maybe Richie got written out of the timeline after the Celebi stuff, and this is the Richie that would have happened as a result of the altered timeline. I don't know.
Correct. Richie goes home, and his parents don't have any idea who he is because their new child is Max.
It could have been. He was fucking around with the timeline and different people, and we know he completely changed the course of that town's history because it's completely different when he gets back. So, presumably, different people have met or not met because of it. Could have had a different child.
Norman did not have a secret child in the original timeline, but now he does.
Now he does, exactly.
With Richie's mom.
We're in the alternate reality now. Max and Max have an instant rivalry, and Joy, instead of being an adult and sticking up for the bullied child, apparently adheres to a zero tolerance BS policy where both of them get reprimanded, even though our Max didn't do anything.
In all fairness to Nurse Joy, they do both have the same name.
Yeah, but I just think it's bullshit. You know, when the one kid who's clearly in the right and not responsible for this gets reprimanded alongside the kid that deserves it. I didn't like Nurse Joy in this episode. I'm sorry. Team Rocket is also here. They're camping out in the woods. James is trying his best to maintain a routine. And it was kind of reminded me of our conversation that we had, Austin, the other day, where I was like, you ever feel like when you wake up in the morning on a work from home day, you should get dressed like you're going to go into work and, you know, adhere to the routine. And you were like, no, fuck that. So,
you know who doesn't brush their teeth in the morning is Team Rocket.
I mean, they live in the woods. How can they brush their teeth in the woods?
I don't know.
But James is feeling pretty existential lately. He's like, I don't know why I keep doing this. And I feel really bad for him.
That went nowhere. I was sad about that.
Yeah, Jesse and Meowth are kind of like, that sounds like a you problem. Goodbye. And they just leave him to be depressed by himself. Back with the twerps, May and Max are at the lake, and they see a really cute Surskit that's skating along the water. And other Max is out there playing with it. I guess they're best friends. And May is like, oh my gosh, how cute is that? This is a perfect opportunity for us to go over there and check it out. Max, you love Pokemon. Why don't you go and make friends with that boy? You both have a lot in common, apparently. After some prodding, May gets Max to go over there and say hello and try to get along with this other boy. Team Rocket has decided in the interim that they simply must catch this Surskit because Giovanni is so stressed out due to it being rainy and overcast in his fantasy.
I will note, Giovanni was not cartoon Giovanni. He was regular Giovanni. And he was definitely sleeping naked in that giant bed. And he had a robe on. And we got to see his, like, chest muscles rippling through.
Ooh. You know this is the kind of boss fantasy I like.
I mean, it was still a pretty bad fantasy. But at least there was, like, that sexualized element to Giovanni.
I love his, like, satin sheets, like, on his bed that he had. And, like, it was a four-poster with the canopy. And yes. It was very luxurious.
A much more realistic depiction than his, like, usual twin bed in the corner he often has in these fantasies.
Yeah, he was actually living in, like, a opulent estate-looking area, and he goes out to his balcony, and he's like, oh, it's so overcast and disgusting outside, but he looks down to his in-ground pool and sees the surskit there, and it lifts his spirits, because surskits are just beacons of happiness, I guess. I don't know.
And then he tears off his robe and goes diving in. No, that doesn't happen.
They should have had that. They should have had him, like, shown the robe, like, flying off and then him diving in. Oh, my goodness. So that's why we got to catch Surskit, apparently. So they interrupt the twerps, but are quickly run off by Skitty, because Skitty gets distracted by Jessie's hair and starts clawing at it. And it ruins her hair, and Jessie's very upset. So Surskit gets scared during this chaos as well, and it runs off into the woods. And honestly, nothing much of consequence happens after this. Team Rocket returns with a giant bulldozer mecha with a hammer on it.
It was like a giant whack-a-mole mallet.
Jessie is feeling very murderous because of her hair, and she legitimately tries to kill the twerps by smashing them with a hammer.
I love it.
Very Yzma-coded.
I almost bought a Yzma t-shirt recently.
You should have. She's an icon.
They didn't have a dressing room, so I couldn't try it on, so I couldn't buy it.
Dang.
RIP Eartha Kitt.
So Jessie is having her Yzma moment and tries to kill the twerps. When is the god dang trainer's choice thing? I feel like it should have happened already.
Oh, right. I wasn't even looking. This actually is when it happens. Trainers, which one of these Pokemon evolves into Lombre? Lotad, Electrike, or Oddish?
I think it's Electrike for sure.
Trainers, if you chose Electrike, then you're right! No, I'm kidding. It's Lotad.
Great, I'm so glad. They finally got one right.
Oh my god, it's like the only correct one of all three of these today. Woo!
1 out of 3 ain't bad, sure. There's some popular Pokemon magazine mecha bullshit that happens. I had to go back and watch this because I couldn't recall how they got separated, but I think during the hammer attack, May and the two Maxes get blasted off into, like, a separate part of the forest.
Yeah.
So they're pretty chill about it, though. They're like, well, we got to find Surskit, so let's just do that. But they keep getting chased by Team Rocket. Then to move the plot along, Jessie becomes further enraged when Max says, hey, why don't you break that rock dam over there and flood this area and get Team Rocket off our back? And, of course, her hair gets further messed up when she gets wet. And this is it Creature from the Black Lagoon? Is that what this reference was supposed to be?
I don't know exactly. Actually, I think it had to have been the ring, right?
With the hair?
The way she was, like, skulking up to them and she's like, ee.
Isn't there, like, I have a vague knowledge of this, but not very much. I may be completely wrong. Doesn't Japan have, like, legends about women in the water?
I know there's a Korean one.
Maybe.
The Water Ghost.
I thought there was some reference to, like, a monster of some kind, but I'm not sure.
Oh, what does Wikipedia have to say? Now I'm Googling The Grudge, which I've never actually seen The Grudge, either version.
I haven't either.
Sorry, y'all. We're not very educated on this topic. You know what? We're in it now. It's Halloween still.
Yeah, we have to lean into spooky season. What monster is this?
In Chinese folklore, it's called a gushin, and in Korean folklore, it's called a gwishin or quishin. I'm totally butchering that. I'm so sorry. There are a lot of legends about it. It says the common plot involves a legend of revenge. For example, revenge for the family of the ghost. Popular tropes include men who cheat on their wives or murder someone. They can be found in many places, but often occur in high schools. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not seeing a Japanese equivalent listed here.
There's apparently, I googled something quickly, apparently in Japanese folklore, there's a yokai that resembles a reptilian creature with the head of a woman and a body of a snake.
Is that the Nerona?
Nerona, yeah. It says it would appear by the water.
What is the Yukiona? Oh, that's like the snow woman, I would assume, from the name. The Yurizu? Oh, no, that's not ghost. Wait, okay. Yeah, it is, but that's a different thing. Yeah, I was thinking of Samara from The Ring as Terra of My Mortal Fame would her. What's her Japanese name? Like Sayako or something?
I cannot remember. I never saw those movies.
I saw all the American ones and some of the Japanese ones.
Okay. Well, she definitely is giving off some kind of malevolent spirit something energy.
Yes.
As she comes out and her hair is completely ruined and she is very just enraged by this. She's transcended all reality and wants to kill them.
They could have gone farther with it, but it was a funny moment.
It was. And we're running out of our 20 minutes of time, so gotta wrap it up. So Jesse is trying to kill them, but is interrupted by Ash and Brock running up, and Ash helpfully blasts them all off with a thunderbolt. So goodbye, Team Rocket. I'm sorry that you weren't successful in catching your Surskit for the boss. And as a result of all that, Max and Max become good pals after bonding over their shared love of Pokemon. And it turns out that they were both just jealous of each other, and they actually had a lot in common after all.
It was a misunderstanding based on nothing.
It was just little kids being little kids. You should really try to just get to know people, because half the time rivalries and such are just a result of misunderstanding. So,
or it could go the other way and you can get to know someone better and you realize you fucking hate them.
Well, that's fair enough. You don't have to be friends or get along with everybody you meet, but
that is true. Especially strange Surskit boys in the woods who are actually your secret half-brother.
Yeah. Wait till Max finds that out later on in his life. It's actually his brother.
Oh, I should probably note the DVD captioned his name as Max with two X's.
What?
Yeah, just FYI.
Are you serious?
I thought that was funny.
That was a short episode. Honestly, not the best.
Yeah, thoughts on Surskit? It didn't do too much.
It didn't impress.
I like Surskit a lot better than the Deoxys movie, which is like seared into my brain. I'm like vibrating with excitement for that episode.
Okay, well, we'll get there. I don't recall that at all, so it'll be a surprise to me.
It has a cute little moment in that movie.
We'll be on the lookout for Surskit's big true debut
movie
moment,
debut.
Apparently, yeah. It was, I mean, you know what? Whatever. Like, a Surskit's a Surskit. It's nothing special.
Flippity flip. I'm going first.
Go for it.
Oh, God, this is a hard one. I guess my MVP is Jessie for her interesting horror dead woman moment that we got some discussion out of. My LVP is going to be, God, should I give it to May or for Skitty? Because that Skitty's out of control. I'm not sure whether to reprimand the Skitty or May for not having it more under control.
You gotta go with your gut.
I'm gonna give it to the Skitty.
All right.
Yeah, fuck Skitty.
Calm down, Meowth.
Okay, my quote, this was kind of funny. May is reprimanding Max, and she says, "You know, you sound just like a kid." And Max says, "I am a kid." And May says, "Oh, so you are."
Okay, my MVP, I really don't know. Gosh, help me out. I don't even know.
Your MVP. Okay, who's in this episode? Nurse Joy, Max, also Max, Surskit, Jesse, James, and Meowth. I already said Jesse. Brock and Ash.
This sucks. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to give it to our Max, I guess, because he's the superior Max.
He is our default MVP, remember?
Yeah, he is. He's so good. Like, he's so unexpectedly charming and funny that, I don't know, when I can't think of anything else, it's just going to go to Max.
Yeah, not a great Max episode, but we do like Max.
I'll just give it to him because, sure, why not? I like Max.
He actually knows his father, unlike the other Max.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, what's up with that, first of all? Like, that other Max just, like, lives at the Pokemon Center. He hangs out with Nurse Joy. Like, what's his story? Where is his parents? I mean, well, we know one of them.
I think he lives in the woods. I think he, like,
he's, like,
he's like a feral child. I don't know.
He's, like, orphaned because I don't know what happened to his mom, but Norman has, like, disavowed him as his child, and now he has to live in the woods? Like, what?
We know he has an optometrist. That's the only thing we know of his story.
He's got glasses. Okay, you know what? Thinking that through, then, I'm going to give my LVP. I originally was going to give it to Joy, but I think now I'm going to give it to Norman for being a deadbeat dad and not supporting all of his, like, children out there, apparently. Like,
Norman is having a bad week with us.
Norman is out of control. Forget Skitty being out of control. Norman is out of control. He's going around knocking up all these women and not supporting them with child support or, like, you know, taking in these kids. And God only knows where this kid's mom is, but he's apparently homeless with no mother. Like, I don't know. Norman's, he's not so great, I don't think. So that is my unexpected LVP.
Yeah, more on that topic at a later date.
I cannot wait. Okay, my quote. I didn't have any quotes, honestly.
I have a couple if you need them.
Okay, you want to throw some in the chat? Maybe they're better than what I have.
Here's a couple options.
Okay, I'm going to use Austin's. My original one sucked, so I am going to use the one that Austin has so generously provided, and it's when Max is having his little fit over the other Max, and he says, "The nerve of that guy having the same name as I do." I feel that. Little kids get jealous over the randomest stuff, so. Okay, we're done, thankfully.
How was our experiment in three episodes? We'll reassess at a later date.
How many of you have stopped listening because you couldn't take it anymore?
Next week, we get to Fall Arbor Town.
Finally.
It's pros and con artists, and come what may.
Finally, we can get to our contest episodes? Question mark?
One of the episode titles has May's name in it, so you tell me.
All right, I think so. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think we can anticipate that. Look forward to that, you guys. It's a two-episode week, so it'll be a little bit more digestible, hopefully. In the meantime, if you guys want to get in touch with us, we always love hearing from you. You can reach out to us on our Gmail. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our social media. We have a Blue Sky and an Instagram. You can reach out to us on both. Our handle is the same, @outofthedryingpan. We also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and you want to support this podcast, we would very much appreciate it. We have all kinds of bonus content over there. So go ahead, check it out. The link is in the description. And as always, we hope you enjoyed our episode this week, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.